and a lot to get through as we get set to celebrate our holidays. A lot of people are taking off, much more than I thought, because I'm coming in Monday and Tuesday, and I find out I'm basically going to be all alone. But I'm looking forward to being here. With me right now is a man who wrote a great book, How to Sweet Talk a Shark, Strategies and Stories from a Master Negotiator. He's had so many significant jobs within the government and also ran his own state and ran for president. Governor Bill Richardson, welcome back to Kilmeade and Friends.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to be with you again.
Well, you know, as long as there are bad guys, you'll always have somebody to talk to. Have you thought about that? Hey, if there's a bad guy out there, let's send Governor Richardson. He'll, if anyone can get a deal, he can. From Mullah Omar to Kim Jong-un and Kim, no, not, oh, Kim Jong-il, excuse me.
Well, they used to say bad people like me, so that's why they send me.
Right. So you've been all over it. Have you thought about, before we talk about your book and what's going on right now, have you thought about what's next for you?
You know, Brian, I'm really happy now. I've got, I do a lot of speeches. I'm consulting. I do some teaching. I'm here in Santa Fe. I've got a couple of foundations. You know, I'm really doing what I want to do. I'm happy. You know, maybe someday in the future, but really, government-wise, right now, I'm happy being a private citizen.
All right. It's going to be very interesting, too. Were you surprised that whatever significance this is, Barbara Walters names the most fascinating people? And usually it's between, oh, I'm surprised that person won and not a different person, 1 to 3. I was shocked that a person that you know quite well, former senator, former secretary of state, Hillary Clinton, won. She only worked a month this year. How does she – is she being teed up to run for president? Do you feel as though some people are just feeling so bad they didn't back her the last time or making sure she gets it this time?
Well, I think there is a boomlet for her. I noticed that she goes out, gets a lot of awards, does a lot of speeches at very friendly audiences. And I know Barbara Walters obviously, making her one of the most fascinating people is a boost. So, you know, there is a boomlet for her in many circles. And, you know, if she does run, Brian, in the Democratic Party, she's going to be formidable. She's got a lot of support right now.
I want you to hear this piece of advice from Robert Gibbs, former press secretary for President Obama, Cut 15.
She also has to distinguish herself from her husband,
right,
too, right? If her campaign becomes an extension, really, of either her husband's term or the current president's term, it's not necessarily good for her.
And he led those remarks with, she has to separate herself from President Obama. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Separate yourself from the last two Democratic presidents. How?
Well, you know, she had a good record as Secretary of State. Now, you know,
so?
I know there's.
Do you think so?
Yeah,
Governor?
I think so. The Benghazi thing she's going to have to deal with, but I think overall she had a good record. She was in the Senate, so I think she can establish that that independence. But at the same time, she is going to be under attack for a lot of issues with relation to the Obama administration and the Clinton administration. But she's still, Brian, going to be formidable. I mean, I can tell you out here, and I'm not necessarily, I haven't pledged my support to her. I'm staying loose, but I can tell you that there's a little boomlet out for her. But, you know, 3 years away, it's an eternity in politics. You'd never know what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, that's true. I think there's, you know, what I was approaching it from, is she a layup? And you're saying, well, there's support. I know that. And when you did not support the Clintons, I know Bill Clinton is very mad at you still, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. No, there's no question about it. And I'm not, you know, one of these people that are sucking up to her or to the Clintons.
I know,
but at the same time, I recognize that she's very strong. I'm out here in New Mexico. I talk to a lot of my friends. You know, they're looking at her, but you know, we're a cyclical country. You can't take an election for granted. You know, we go 8 years with one party, 8 years with another party. So regardless of who our nominee is, it's not going to be an easy election for the presidency in the next 4 years.
No, it's definitely not. And, of course, people thought it would be Republican nominee Rudy Giuliani at this point. Who's going to stop him? And we all know he stopped himself, but he never got anywhere on the Republican side. Governor, as you see right now, the struggles the president's having, He has a 42% approval rating. Yet Chris Matthews out there this morning saying that it's been a terrible year and the trust factor could be gone. This seems like a, his quote was, it seems like a long presidency or ever. The number one Pinocchio of the year, according to the Washington Post, not a right-wing organ, was the president saying, if you want to keep your plan, you can keep your plan. What happened?
Well, look, you know, it's like a baseball player. He had a slump, a year-long slump.
But it's not going away. This is not.
Well, but
the Syria thing went away. This is with us.
Here, let me tell you why I think he can bounce back. The economy's bouncing back. Number one. Number two, if he gets this deal with Iran, which I'm very skeptical of, if he gets this deal, and the Syria situation is somehow contained, then I think that he can boost foreign policy. If the Republicans move forward on this immigration bill, if there's even a piecemeal bill from the House on immigration and they marry it to a Senate bill, then both sides can say, you know, we are responsible. So he, you know, in eternity, a president has enormous power. 3 years is an eternity. No question, Brian. He had a bad year. It couldn't, you know, it was really bad. You know, this health care thing is getting a little better. It's getting a little better. You hear out
Governor,
there,
well, really you know, isn't. I know you're cheering for it. But now, yesterday, he came out with a proclamation that you can have catastrophic care. The insurance companies say, are you kidding me? We can't do this on the fly. We've just been conforming to your latest declaration was you're going to be offered a chance to get your plan back when the president apologized for being confusing on his proclamation.
Yeah.
The website's getting better, perhaps.
The website's getting better, and I think more people are signing up. I'm sensing that as I go around the country. But they've got to clean up all the glitches. And a good part of his legacy in the domestic arena is going to be the positive functioning of this health care.
Governor, you saw Bill Clinton up close. He was able to run things. Yeah, he stayed up too late, maybe got up too late, but he was able to be efficient. He had his hands on things. He's so bright. Governor, President Obama, so bright. Why does he seem so detached from things that matter so much?
Well, you know, they're different styles. You're right about Clinton. He was on the phone till, you know, 1 a.m. calling everybody for advice. Now, here's one thing that I'm encouraged, Brian. There's a guy named John Podesta who's coming into the administration. He was chief of staff when I was energy secretary and U.N. ambassador under Clinton. This guy, Podesta, makes things happen. He is going to make sure, I believe, that the president expands his ties with Congress, talks to more people, and Podesta himself is an activist. I think there's going to be a sea change in that White House staff that needs that revitalized.
I'll tell you what, if I thought that when Daley came in, because he was a guy with legitimate ties to business that had relationships with Republicans, John Podesta is a liberal guy. He's an environmentalist. He's going to be organized. He's going to tell the president what to do. But there's also a chief of staff there that's going to be telling the president he's got to feel not threatened by him, even though we brought him in, Dennis McDonough. He's got, evidently, some of the reports are, and you would know better, that he only agreed to take this job if the president would agree to push more the expansion of the EPA at a time in which we're going for there's a big push to build pipelines and to maximize fracking in our sudden plethora of natural gas. And he's going to be pushing for executive orders. That to me spells divide.
Well, no, not necessarily. What I think Podesta will be able to do, he's like in his 60s. You know, he's been around all kind of administration. He has ties with Congress. I think he's going to be brought in to deal with the process, the staff of the presidency, rather than issues itself. That's what he did with Clinton. You know, he was a guy that was organized. The cabinet's going to have a role. The president's going to talk to all sides. I think you're going to be surprised with Podesta being more of a process guy and improving things dramatically. dramatic.
Well, I mean, he's definitely organized. We know that. We know he knows his way around. So, Governor, well, one of your great assets is you'll talk to our enemies. Why? What do you think? What do you think that is going to be accomplished 6 months from now when we interview you again? You'll be in a tank top. It'll be summer, but you'll be saying, "Hey, look at the 6 months since we signed this deal with Iran." Saying we do. What do you think is going to be accomplished 6 months from now? What does your gut and what does experience tell you?
Well, my gut is that it won't be there won't be a long-term deal in 6 months. What I want the administration to do is, yes, enrich uranium, get rid of it. But also, I want Iran to do more. I want Iran to corner and stop supporting Hezbollah. I want, you know, us to beef up our relationship with Israel because, you know, they're our friends. The Saudis are important, too. We can't let them, you know, go out in the lurch. They've always been with us, especially on energy.
But we lost them. And the Saudis said flat out, we lost them. They said, we're going on without
them. Well, they're mad. They're mad. But I realize that. I want us to help opposition groups in Iran. You know, I'm skeptical about this deal, but I think they should see how far they can go. And they deserve some credit. But in 6 months, Brian, you asked me, I don't think there'll be a long-term deal then. There may be a short-term deal, and we'll be able to assess it. But I'm a little skeptical on this one, I got to tell you.
So we have a bipartisan group of senators who are going to put sanctions in place. So if something blows up in 6 months, that sanctions immediately go in or they go in sooner. That's bipartisan. Schumer, Menendez, and Moore are part of this. Here is the reaction from Jay Carney when the president heard this. Cut 14.
We don't think this action is necessary. We don't think it will be enacted. If it were enacted, the president would veto it. The fact of the matter is, this is not a debate about being for or against sanctions. There is no president in the history of this conflict with Iran who has been more aggressive in pursuing and enacting and building international consensus around sanctions than Barack Obama.
But he evidently cut this deal without Europe really playing a role, and certainly without Israel playing a role or their advice. So
well,
your reaction to this is really the first time we saw Democrats push back on him.
Well, no, there have been other times, but I think Syria was one. But,
you're right.
But,
that's a good example.
But my point here is that I think what the president can do when he negotiates with Iran, Secretary Kerry can say to the Iranians, look, this has to be a good deal or you're going to get more sanctions from the U.S. Senate. So actually, I think it's a negotiating tool the administration should use. They have to say the obligatory things about we'll veto it. And they're right. It's not going to probably be enacted because ultimately the president would veto it. But I would use it. I would say to the Iranians, look, you know, you got to really end enriched uranium and your nuclear capabilities, or you're going to get more sanctions. And the fact is, Brian, it's the sanctions that have brought Iran to their knees, not their good intentions. You know, they have to import their gasoline, their food. Oil production is down 50%. So, you know, this will scare them. So I think actually what the Senate has done, this little coalition, is a negotiating thing for the administration to use. It's actually a good thing.
I hope they realize it. They can use it. No indication is they're going to. And, Governor, when we read your book, what's the one thing you want people to take out of it when we read your book on how to sweet talk a shark, Strategies and Stories from a Master Negotiator? How can we relate to that?
Well, I think it's important that you know where you want to end up. Use a little humor. Respect the other side. Don't lose your cool. I have instances in the book where I lost my cool, which isn't good. Let the other side save face. And this is when you're talking to your spouse or your, you know, your girlfriend, your wife, you're negotiating for a car or a house. You know, just be cool. Know where you want to end up. Be respectful. Have all the facts about the other side, let the other side save face, share the credit, and then move on.
Got it. Governor, always love talking to you. Have a great Christmas.
Look
forward
to
get you in
Merry
studio
Christmas,
soon.
Buddy.
All right.
All the best to you.
Same to you. I would feel a lot better if a guy like Governor Richardson was joining the administration as opposed to John Podesta, but because he has a habit of working with the other side. Not that he's any less liberal or not. He understands what it takes to get things done. I really don't think John Podesta cares enough. That's just my opinion. We'll see how it plays out. We caught him all on tape. He's also not optimistic that this Iranian deal is going to bear fruit in 6 months. When we come back, we wrap up the show and try to squeeze in some calls on Kill Meet and Friends.
Get Brian's new book, George Washington's Secret Six, on sale now at briankilmeade.com and wherever great books are sold.